illusions in my mind. Like that picture when you feel you can't go on, like you've been left behind. Life goes on now. Take me to that funky place where you were never born. Carry on now. Psychedelic tendencies of love. Bring it on. Bring it on.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNLive.com. And don't wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And we're going to talk a little bit about where do Christians come from. And on the Sermon on the Mount, the Messiah, he talks about, and he tells us who will and who will not be accepted into his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he states here out of the scriptures, it reads, not everyone who calls me, and it's amazing how they're going to continue to use Baalistic terms. Lord does mean Baal. Baal means the Lord. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of eternity, but only the ones who will do the will of my Father in eternity or heaven. For many will say to me in that day, quote unquote, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many works of power? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness or Torahlessness or iniquity. That's what the word iniquity literally means there in the King James text. It means those who are without Torah or those who are without the law of Yah anymore. Now, Christians may not like this, and I say this in love and all due respect, but there is only one group of people on earth that fits this description. There's only one group of people that calls on his name, casts out devils, or they think they're calling on his name, I should say. They're referring to him, but they're not calling his name. Read Isaiah 65 slowly and carefully, and you'll see that's true. He's being sought by a nation that did not ask for him by name. But they're trying to refer to him by these pagan names. But there's only one group of people that casts out devils or thinks they're casting out devils in his name and does many mighty works, they think, in his name. But which does not keep his law. The indictment the Messiah gave to those who he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, their indictment was because they were workers of lawlessness. They thought the law was done away with. They thought, oh, no, we're saved by grace, 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 grace. And law, no, I'm not under the law. But yet they're following man's law and promoting man's laws, ordinances, statutes, and judgments and testimonies of men. But we have to bow down to statues, remember, whether it be an idol, whether it be a visible image, or whether it be an invisible or a visible written image on paper. A statue can be a written command or quote-unquote statue that you follow, and he said don't bow down to any statue. He didn't say whether it be written form or whether it be in an idolatrous form. He said both were wrong. Okay, but because you rejected my law, my Torah, okay, I'll give you evil, wicked kings that you can serve in their wicked law, and you'll be subservient and subjugated to them. And I'm going to let you just, you know, since you don't want me as your king, I'll give you evil kings. I'll give you evil presidents. And I'll use Pharaoh to chastise you. I'll use even an evil guy by the name of Bush, Clinton, and all these evil men, and they'll be your rulers. And I'll chastise you through them. I'll destroy the wicked with the wicked, and then I'll get the wicked, quote-unquote, magistrates later. Get them too. Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNLive.com. I'm the Repairer of the Breach, Zechariah Todd Daniel. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned. BreachMender@yahoo.com is the email. And stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom in the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, attuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah Todd Daniel. And we're discerning a little bit more today, I hope. Hopefully, maybe you're discerning more today how that, with all due respect, Christianity could not have been the original faith of the apostles. Messiah said, "Depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness," or Torahlessness. "Workers of iniquity were those who were under this deception called the mystery of iniquity." The mystery of iniquity had a mystery name, mystery language. Latin means mystery. Did you know that? It also means hidden. Mystery Babylon, mother of all harlots. Mystery Roman Catholic Christian Church. Christianity is Roman. It's Romanism. Latin means mystery. I mean, I don't think the Almighty Messiah would change his name to into a Greek Latin name. It means mystery. No, I don't think so. He said his name is Yahweh forever, and he said a memorial to all generations. That's why hallelujah is the same in all languages. Show them how their inflection and dialectic and accents and so forth. But no one says it's hallelujah God or hallelujah Jesus or hallelujah Jesus or hallelujah Jesus or hallelujah Jesus or hallelujah Lord or hallelujah God, which, again, Lord means Baal. And the 450 prophets of Baal, what happened? They were cut down and judged by Elijah, right? Now, again, I know many are not going to like this. I understand that, and I can relate to it, and I'm trying to speak the truth in love like Ephesians 4 commands me to. But this passage here in Matthew 7, again, specifically is a prophecy. It can only be about lawless Christianity. They're under this mystery of lawlessness. They think the law is done away with, and yet they got their own religious creeds, man-made denominal teachings. Denomination means denying the name in Latin, by the way. The D-E means denying and moving away from. Nom is Latin for name. So they say, well, we deny the name. They openly say, by using the terms, it's all in the words in which they use, folks, to describe themselves, that you can find the indictment or judgment to come about it. They deny the name. that they say, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name. They thought it was his name. They thought, well, they were referring to him, yes, but they weren't yet referring to him by name. They were referring to person, but not of the name. They were not referring to his name at all. They denied his name. The closest they got was Hallelujah, because the prophets were named like Nehemiah and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Obadiah. They were prophets of Yah or Yahweh. They weren't prophets of Jesus or Jehovah. Jehovah means Jehovah's Pater, goes back to Jupiter in the Latinism, Romanism. Jesus or Jesus goes back to Greek mythology. And with all due respect, this is, I know this is, sounds so hard to believe. The truth does sound stranger than fiction, but you can handle the truth. And I cried and almost felt like, you know, like I died when I discovered this, folks, again, to try to empathize and relate. It'd be not so, I don't want to be misunderstood to be brass or not sensitive, because we do have to love one another. He said to forgive one another and so forth. He's forgiven me a lot, and so we must forgive much as well. Now many Christians might ask, well, quote unquote, they'll ask questions like, well, if lawlessness is bad, then why has the Lord? No, by the way, the name Lord is Hebrew for Baal. Why has the Lord prospered the Christian people so much if what they practice is actually a deception? Some might ask that. Why? Well, let's answer that question, because it is a very important question. It seems likely. Now, this is just, you know, most likely, I think, to be very true, that the Almighty will prosper Christianity primarily, or he allowed it to be prospered, I should say. He allowed Christianity to prosper primarily, not because he caused it. He allowed Christianity to primarily to prosper because it was a means of spreading the Tov news or good news of the Messiah around the globe much faster than the law-abiding Nazarene original faith of the apostle would have ever spread it, first of all. But he also allowed it as a test to see who truly loves him and seeks to do his will, and who merely gives up lip service to the idea of wanting to serve their king. People don't like obeying laws. If you promise them true life and eternal salvation with Yahweh's rules, judgments, testimonies, statutes, and commandments, and false eternal life with no rules on the other, most people are going to go for the latter option. They're not going to analyze a lawless option, you know, following Yahweh's commandments, judgments, testimonies, statutes. They're going to say, ah, no, I'd rather go the grace, 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 grace way. No, get the law. Law is done away with, nailed it to the cross. Well, it wasn't a cross he died on. It was a stake or a pole. Cursed is he was hanging on a tree. Scripture says the cross was a symbol of sexual fertility rites, horizontal being the male, vertical, excuse me, female, and vertical being the male. Now, they're not going to analyze. Many lawless Christians aren't going to analyze and say, yeah, we'll take the law away. They've been taught the law has been done away with. So this is the spell they're under, if you will, the mystery of iniquity that Satan has them under. But yet Yah was the one that caused them to be, he sent them a strong delusion, he stated. You see, he sent them a strong delusion to believe the lie that the law was done away with. That was a lie. To believe a name that was never his name, because he said he would hide his name in Ezekiel 7:20-23. So he hid his name. Read Isaiah 48:19. Read Jeremiah 11:19. And also 1 Enoch 70. You see, folks, if you read the book of Yaakov or James, is what they call, 1:1 and 2, he's not writing to a church system. Again, he's writing to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. Read it. And so the renewed covenants for... Because people think, well, the Old Testament's for the Jews and for Israel, and the New Testament's for the church and Christian. No, nothing could be so farther from the truth. Messiah came to redeem, not to start a new religion. Not to, you know, create a mystery Babylon now for them to, for many to worship. No. The Almighty Messiah, Yahweh, said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I've only come to seek and save that which is lost. I've come to redeem. What's redeem mean, people? It means to repurchase or buy back. Who did he come to buy back? He came to buy back the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now they're known as every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, a.k.a. Gentiles. And they think that, oh, no, no, I'm not going to go back to the law. No, 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 I'm not. I can't convert to be an Israelite. No, it's not Judaism, folks. Judaism is another deception because they don't believe in Messiah's come. They don't believe in the renewed covenant or New Testament. They don't believe that the Torah is the absolute authority. They think the Talmud is, which is another lie. And it isn't Islam either because they got another book, Quran, which is really anti-Messiah. Yet they believe that the Messiah was just a man or a prophet. And yet they all intertwine to some degree. But yet they're making it a race war, aren't they? Well, let's get the Christians and the Jews to, you know, fight together, but yet they're fighting amongst each other, of course, against the Muslims. I mean, in reality, it's not about race, folks. Okay, it is about grace and obedience. Not grace, grace, grace only, but obedience and the obedience of your faith produces the grace and power, the desire and power Yahweh gives you to do his will. That's what grace literally means, that the desire and power that he gives, Yahweh gives, to do his will. Because you can't keep his law in your own ability, but it's no longer you that liveth, but the Messiah liveth in you, and he writes now his Torah, his laws, judgments, testimonies, and statutes upon your heart. It's no longer you. In your ability, you couldn't keep the law. I mean, you found out your so-called New Year's resolutions don't cut it. It lasts for a couple of weeks, and boom, you're back off doing the same old thing again, huh? Because the power of Yahweh is the only thing that can change you. And by keeping his law through his spirit, not through your spirit, not through your ability, not through your power, but not by might or power, but by his spirit, saith Yahweh, that you are going to be able to be obedient to him. He'll give you grace. He's long-suffering toward us. Hallelujah. Thank Father for that. Now, let's kind of go back to some of what we want to cover today. Now, you know, most people just want a license to do as they please, you know, live in the old way. But when you license or get a license, you're asking for permission, right? The license is just another term for licentiousness. Another term for a lot of lying and a whole lot more sinning. License. Okay, that's another subject. But nevertheless, people don't want to live under the law of Yahweh. They want to live under their own law. They want to live under man's law. Think about that. Isn't there something wrong with that? If there's only 613 laws in Scripture and 759 total judgments, testimonies, statutes, and commandments, wouldn't you rather be under that than the 60 million that man has made up or more, give or take? I mean, think about it. What really is easier? It's a lot easier following the Scripture, my friend. A lot easier. And more blessed, more prosperous if you follow him. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. And they're not grievous. Oh, I need to keep two commandments. Love my neighbors, myself, and love the Creator, of course, first and foremost. Well, if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. He said that. You know? You're going to love your fellow man. If you can't do it in your own self, it's pretty hard to, isn't it? His supernatural power and his spirit to love your fellow man. Now, the other reason, though, that I should put it this way, Yahweh gives the people a lawless alternative to see who is going to truly seek out the will. Okay? He knew what was in man because he made man, so he gave man a so-called false easy road to hoe, if you will. And then once they got tired of that and realized that wasn't the right way, he'd say, okay, they're broken. I can use them now. I can speak to them. But it's going to take a false, easy road sometimes to wake people up and they realize they're disillusioned that it couldn't happen that way anyhow. So you're listening to the Repair the Breach broadcast on RBNLive.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Breach Method.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RVNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
We're back here on the Repair of the Breach broadcast. You're tuned to the Public Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. And let me just say this. The other reason that the Christian church grew much faster than the Nazarene faith, the original faith of the apostles, by the way, is because the Roman emperors, like Constantine, was the first pope, or papa, if you will. And isn't that amazing? The Messiah said, call no man father, and yet they want everyone to call their priest father, the first papa, if you will, which is obvious error, scriptural error. Previous Roman state religion was called Mithraism. Did you know that? Yeah, that's right. Mithraism was sun worship, and the Roman emperor, Caesar, they called him, they thought he was a man, quote-unquote man god, if you will. He was considered to be personally attended by Sol Invictus Myth Ra, quote unquote, Sol Invictus Myth Ra, the invincible, quote unquote, god of the sun, being privately attended by the sun god Mithra, which is really another name for Lucifer. Lucifer has many names, Lucifer, light bearer, so forth, illuminator, Illuminati, etc., all this stuff goes back to that. The Roman emperors enjoyed a demagogue status, which gave them immense power, prestige, and control over their people. That's why they like the church-state being fused together as one. There's no separation of church and state. The state created the church. That's right. It's a misnomer. It's a deception. Religion is classically defined as that which binds people together. When the Messiah, folks, came to set us free, he came to set us free. He didn't come to bind us together. With cords that cannot be, I mean, all these songs, folks. Said when the Son of Man sets you free indeed. Religion binds people together. They make you feel bad if you leave their little sect, don't they? Because they want to control your life. And the Messiah is the only one that wants to be in control of your life. But you have to willingly yield to him. He's not going to force himself on you. And anyhow, this demagogue status that we were talking about, that Constantine and these so-called emperors, or what they called Caesars, these quote-unquote man-god status that they have with the people, they kept these so-called Caesars or popes kept all their subjects bound up together in him, in Caesar or in the Pope. The Pope was both at one time. I mean, if people are bound up together by their faith in the Almighty, then they're allegiance to the Almighty and not to any man, any papacy or president or otherwise. This makes tyranny impossible, you see, because if you have trust in Yahweh, then you're not going to bow down to any testimony or judgment or statute of man. You don't have to bow down to any statutes, right? I don't care if it's written or if it's an idol. It's still a statute, still something you said not to bow down to. It's only for the disobedience of others who reject the Messiah that he says, okay, fine, I'll turn you over to these evil ruler. And I'll use them as a chastening rod. Now, if you study this out carefully, folks, the faith of the apostles could not have been Christianity. And so, again, I say this in love and all due respect. I know it's shocking. It sounds too hard to believe off the cuff. I understand that. And I've been there and I've done that. I know that it takes a while to assimilate this information and to research this information. And I'm always telling people, don't believe it just because I'm saying it. Research it out for yourself. If you have the hunger, you'll be filled. If you're thirsting, if you're hungry, you'll be fed. If you're thirsty, you'll be filled. The scripture teaches that. Any man hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he shall be filled. Whenever you see the term righteousness in the scripture, righteousness, that means right ruling. It means right way of living. The righteousness of Yah is revealed through faith in the Messiah in which he came to be. Okay? And when people say, oh, I don't want the law, that's self-righteousness. No, it's not self-righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. It's his righteousness. It's his law. So whenever you see the term righteousness in Scripture, it's regarding his judgments, testimonies, statutes, commandments, and his law, his Torah. First five books are referred to as the law of Moses or Torah. There's the half-Torah, the prophets, the law of the prophets. And then you have the writings, Psalms, Proverbs, the minor prophets, or the prophets, I should say. And we judge everything by the Torah, the half-Torah, the writing. That's why he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For it is they, the scriptures, the Torah, the half-Torah, the writings, the first 39 books, if you will, from Genesis to Malachi, for in them they testify of me. But when you study the first 39 books, there's no name Jesus ever testified about. And so he said here in the Renewed Covenant, Yochanan, or John 5, if you're going to follow me, you're going to know me. You're going to search, first of all, in the right location, which is the Torah, the half-Torah, the first 39 books, and then you'll get my identity straight. If you don't believe Rome, they want you to worship Jehovah, which is another name for Jupiter. Like the Greeks want you to worship Jesus or Zeus, and Jesus, sus in Latin, means literally, wine with all due respect. We'll be right back after this short break.
Handle the truth.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, you're tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah Todd Daniel. If you'd like to call in here the last 20 minutes or so of the broadcast, have questions or comments of what you've heard today or any subject matter you'd like to talk about related to these issues that we brought up, there's several subjects within the subject today, you can call us at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Glad to take your call. I know most Christians are shocked to discover that Christianity was not the original faith of the apostles. I understand that. However, if you start doing this, studying and researching and seeking, you'll find knocking is going to be open to you. When you start researching the Renewed Covenant, it reveals that the original faith of the 12 apostles was not an anti-Semitic or Shemitic, quote-unquote, Christian faith, espousing the belief that the Messiah had come to usher in the sun, S-U-N day. No. Or to, like I said earlier, to quote-unquote nail the cross, or nail the law to the cross when it wasn't done away with. The original faith of the apostle, folks, these were Nazarene Israelites, Acts 24:5, the watchmen, you read it, Jeremiah 31, the renewed covenant. You know, the true faith of the apostles was that sect of Israel, the Nazarene Israel sect that taught and kept the Torah zealously, but with a renewed heart. Okay? He writes his Torah in our hearts. Okay? Renews the heart. It's not about outward actions. It's not about outward demonstrations. It's not about look at what we can do, look what you're not doing, and we're looking at. It's not about that. It's about, it's in his word. I want to obey. I want to comply. I want to follow his spirit, his word, his law, his teachings, his right rulings, his righteousness. You see? Not about, again, who's right or who's wrong. It's just what's right, what's wrong. And if you're really, you know, ready to know what the Messiah actually came to teach his people, Israel. Again, they weren't Christian. They were Israelites. And he said, ye men of Israel. And he's talking to all these men from different countries there in Acts chapter 2. Read it carefully. The so-called Gentiles, you know, he's calling them the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They don't know it. The reason why they're lost is because they're the lost prodigal son in Luke 15. They don't know it. They're squandering their father's inheritance and righteous living. You know, the Father's been blessing them, keeping them all through this time, and now they find themselves in the pigsty eating pork still. See, that's why Christianity couldn't be the original faith. The apostles, they teach it. The law's been away with. You don't need to observe Leviticus 11. They take scriptures out of context because it wasn't their fault that the translators lied to them. Right there in Colossians 2:14 through 18, if you take those italicized words out, Shaul is saying, keep the new moon, keep the Sabbath, keep the festivals, keep the clean food eating laws. He's not saying doing away with it. It's an act. For the book of Acts, Shaul says he didn't offend at any point in the Torah at all. Not one. And people say, well, they point to Acts 15 and think, well, you know, hey, you know, these are only four things I got to do. Now, those are the beginning stages to get into the covenant, renew the covenant again. Came to renew the covenant, right? Came to redeem you. Came to restore you, right? Didn't come to start a new religion called lawless Christianity. Okay? Or Christianism paganized, or paganized, or christening paganism. You see? I mean, we can really, really prove this out. I mean, there's enough, again, literary sources. Some more here. I want to give you some more information. Surely there are times, you know, that, and I guess this is such a time that, like we stated before, the truth is stranger than fiction. And but the Messiah taught that the Nazarenes in Mark 9:40 not to hold back, you know, the Christians. But since the Christians did not extend the same courtesy, all Roman emperor, when I say Christians, I mean Rome, okay, folks? It was really the original faith of the Romans. It was Christianity. Now, there was a sect in Rome who were Nazarenes. Okay, so when you read the book of Romans, he's not writing to the Roman Christians. Okay. He's writing to those who were at Rome that were Nazarene Israelites. Okay? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, the 12 dispersed, like Jacob 1:1, Galatians 6:16. Peace be upon those who walk according to this rule, this government, this right ruling, his righteousness, upon the Israel of Yahweh. Okay? Now, all Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor Constantine had to do was to make the false claim that he was the Messiah's successor by claiming a false, quote-unquote, apostolic succession. Sounds like the Pope, you know? And now the majority would listen to his decrees against the Nazarene. Once he had established himself as the legitimate heir of Kepha, or Peter, and the Messiah, Yahweh, Emperor Constantine was then able to carry out the political assassination of all those who did not bow to him as a demigod. Anyone who refused to worship him as the head of the body of believers was to be put to death as a quote-unquote heretic. Scripture tells us that the Messiah is the head, or the leader, the head of the body. And we got a call. We got John in Texas. Welcome. How are you doing? What can we do for you here on the Repair of the Breach podcast, John? John in Texas. Okay, let's try it again. John in Texas, are you there? Welcome to Repair the Breach podcast. You're on rbnlive.com.
And I didn't hear the early part of the show, but I have been studying these teachings of a general subject matter, what you're dealing with. And I don't know if you touched on the fact that the Messiah's, Jesus's conception was something that I noticed that I read recently and studied, was that the Virgin Mary was married at the time. One of the commandments of Yahweh was thou shalt not commit adultery. And you have the Messiah here who was conceived by a being called the Holy Spirit to a married woman who was married to Joseph at the time. And that would be the breaking of a commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Did you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I would like to say something on that, John. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a very interesting point. The majority of the believers in the Messiah today is they believe that the Messiah was a human being. And if he was a human being, then he would have been technically a bastard child. And the fact of the matter, he wasn't a bastard. He was the Almighty Messiah, and she was just a surrogate mother. Whether she was married or not, the scripture says she knew not a man. The issue is that he was not a human being from the dust of the earth like us. She was a surrogate in every which way, first surrogate mother there ever was. She indeed was like a pipeline, and the Messiah was the living water that flowed through it. She didn't give up her chromosomes or DNA. None of her 23 chromosomes were given to him. He was her creator and savior. She was a sinner. There's no such thing as immaculate conception. You know, when we realize that he just came through her as a vessel, then we understand then that he had a rightful place to do that. Being the creator, he can do what he wants whenever he wants as his sovereignty dictates to him. But anything else, John?
Yes, I just wanted to mention to the listeners once that the original Old Testament predicts the Messiah's name would be Emmanuel. And also, I'd like to say that the three wise men followed a star to see the Messiah, the alleged Messiah's birth. They followed a star, which my research leads me to believe it was some type of moving spacecraft. But that's all I want to say.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks, John, for your comments. And I will comment on the title Emmanuel that you mentioned. Emmanuel, the suffix for Emmanuel, El is short for El or Elohim or Eloah, which is just mighty one, which mighty one they worship, they being Israel, was Yahweh, and he came in the Father's name. And Yahweh says, I alone am your Savior, I know not any others, in Isaiah 43:10-11. And he says that in that day there shall be one Yahweh and his name one every time. Again, you see Lord or God or Jehovah or Jesus, of course, the name of Yahweh was in there over 7,000 times. And that's the name that he came in. It says to call the Messiah's name or the son or the king that's to be born in Jeremiah 23:5-6. It says to call the son, the Messiah, to call his name Yahweh, our righteousness. It'll say Lord in all caps in your English Bibles generally. But every time you see Lord or God in your Bibles or Jehovah or Jesus, the name of Yahweh was in there emphatically, without a shadow of a doubt, over 7,000 times. And that's the name he said. He came in the Father's name because he was the Father manifested in the flesh as the Son. And we do appreciate John's comments, though. We go to Dylan, though, in Texas. Welcome, Dylan. Welcome to the Repair of the Breach, my friend.
Hallelujah, Zechariah.
Hallelujah, brother. How are you doing today?
I'm doing real good on this Sabbath, and it's the Sabbath not because it's Saturday. It's the Sabbath because it's the 15th day of the moon.
Absolutely right.
I really do appreciate all the Hebrew names. The more appropriate Hebrew names that you substitute for our common English words, King James English, such as the names of the apostles and prophets and books of the scripture. However, I can use the King James Bible and a Strong's Concordance to prove your points to anyone that doesn't want to, quote unquote, deviate from the King James or the English language even. And in front of me, I have, I'm busy. I'm on the phone.
He's about the Father's business, though.
Okay. I have in front of me an American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828. This is Noah Webster, 1828. Okay. American Dictionary of the English Language. You can get this from the Foundation for American Christian Education, the acronym FACE. And it's got a lot of really good words. And here I looked up under the entry Jehovah.
Uh-huh.
It says noun, the scripture name of the supreme being, Hebrew. And then following the abbreviation for Hebrew, it has the tetragrammaton, Yod, Hey, Wah, Hey,
mm-hmm.
and which is Yahweh.
Right.
And then it says, if, as is supposed, this name is from the Hebrew substantive verb, the word denotes the permanent being as the primary sense of the substantive verb in all languages, and I am an instructor of English, and I do teach that the verb to be is the foundation of the English language. Okay, it says, the substantive verb in all languages is to be fixed, to stand, to remain or abide. This is the name peculiarly appropriate to the eternal spirit, the unchangeable God, it says, who describes himself thus. And they are, in this dictionary, they always give parts of the King James, and it gives from Exodus 3, it says, I am that I am. And also, last week I added my 2 cents worth to Message of Truth, and I said that I have copies of the Encyclopedia Britannica from 1771, in which the letter J, at that time, does not have its own section. The J entries are intermixed among the I entries, indicating that it would be pronounced more like the I. So going back to Jehovah, if you pronounce it more like an I, you would get Yehovah. And of course, the H in Romance languages is, you know, not pronounced. So then that would be more like Yehovah. And of course, the V can be pronounced like a W. So then we get Yahweh.
Right. That's a good deduction. You bring out some good points, Dylan. You know, you're an English teacher. You mentioned that. And your name being Dylan, just because you go to a different country and people speak a different language, they still would call you Dylan. They would not translate your name. They would still they would transliterate your name, and that goes for any other person for that matter, and especially for the Father of all creation. He said not to take his name in vain, which literally means don't, you know, substitute or don't bring it to naught or don't use it. And if we don't use it, we lose it. We lose it either in translation by the translators, or we lose it, you know, out of the presence of our mind or our mindset. It won't hit. The Father's name has to be on our foreheads in Revelation 14 and our hearts. So
that point of the name does not change. Before I switched to teaching only Americans, mm-hmm. when I was still teaching English as a second language to foreign nationals, mm-hmm. I taught them that exact point. I said, you know, they would try to translate their name into an English name, and I said, wait a minute, if I go to China, my name is still Dylan. It's not going to be Yong Pik Yao or something.
That's right. Your name still is the same on the passport and your license or what have you, if you have those things. And people, out of respect to their creator, should, by all means, I mean, we should respect one another, but how much the more should we respect the creator when he has mandates and commandments, statutes about his name? He's jealous over his name, and that he said he changes not. And how can we say that, well, we can change it for every culture, every country that's developed, when he says, no, that's taking my name in vain. It's a subtle way of breaking the third commandment without even realizing it.
Yeah. This 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary also has an interesting thing to say under the entry jealous.
What's it say?
Suspicious, apprehensive of rivalship, uneasy through fear that another has withdrawn or may withdraw from one the affections of a person he loves, or enjoy some good which he desires to obtain, followed by of, and applied both to the object of love and to the rival. We say a young man is jealous of the woman he loves, or jealous of his rival. A man is jealous of his wife and the wife of her husband. Suspicious that we do not enjoy the affection or respect of others, or that another is more loved and respected than ourselves. And in the King James, one of the names for Yahweh is jealous. And so jealousy is a righteous attribute.
Why don't you hold over for the break, Dylan? We'll be right back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. Again, on the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah, Todd, Daniel. We've got Dylan bringing out some good points. We'll be right back after this short break. Breachmender at yahoo.com, rbnlive.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. We're talking to Dylan, and Dylan had some good points that he was bringing out there, and really enjoy some of the points that callers have brought out on this broadcast. We've had some real bright individuals come on this broadcast and call in, and we appreciate all the input and sharing the information with all the listeners. Just wanted to give you a couple announcements here before we leave the broadcast today. As stated, the Sabbath for this moon Today is the 15th day of the moon, the third moon, regardless of what they call it. May 27th, May was another pagan deity of Maya, and so the true scriptural time was by the sun, moon, and stars, like Genesis 1:14-16 teaches. And we just completed the last Sabbath. Last week was the seventh Sabbath of seven Sabbaths complete to be counted in Leviticus 23. And then after that Sabbath, we started numbering 50 days to Pentecost, which is a summer harvest or summer feast. And that'll occur on July 8th to July 9th, Saturday to Sunday evening. July 8th to July 9th will be the day of Pentecost. But right now we're on day number 7. We're counting 50 days. We're at day number 7. And for those that want to know, scriptural Hebrew time, scriptural calendar, even though calendar isn't probably the right word or correct word, but nevertheless, to translate, folks, the Sabbath, again, will be from Friday evening to Saturday evening for the next, including this one, 3 weeks today, and then 22nd next week, and then the 29th. There's over 72 instances, or 18 scriptural texts, 872 instances where the weekly Sabbath was always on the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and 29th by the full new moon. So you can't, again, find the Sabbath unless you find, can't find the seventh day of the week Sabbath unless you find the first day of the new month, or the day of the new full moon, and so forth. So, why is the Sabbath needed? Why do people need to observe it? People say, well, I'm not under the law. It's for the Old Testament and the Jews, and I'm a Christian and I'm in the church. Well, it's because they're under this teaching, this mystery of iniquity, which is the secret of law. If they think they don't need to keep it. If it's not needed to be kept, then why are they keeping it in the renewed covenant, my friend? Why are they keeping it with the Gentiles? It's not a Jewish thing or a Gentile thing. It's an issue of obedience to the Creator. There remaineth therefore a rest, a physical day of rest for the people of Yahweh. Read Hebrews chapter 4. They're keeping the Sabbath, folks. That's a sign of the everlasting covenant. You want good vision, spiritual vision? Okay? Go to Ezekiel 20:20. You want good spiritual vision? Go to Ezekiel 20:20. Read 20:12-20. Read it. Exodus 31. It's a commandment. He said it was a sign of the everlasting covenant forever. Well, I don't need to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, they're going to keep it in the Sabbath day reign, the millennial reign of 1,000 years. Read Zechariah 13 and 14. Those who didn't keep the Sabbath, but those who didn't keep all the feasts and tabernacles were destroyed. If you can't run with the footman now, how are you going to run with the horseman then? Well, anyhow, folks, we really appreciate y'all tuned into the Republic Broadcasting Network, the edition of the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zechariah Todd Daniel. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at breachmender@yahoo.com, and you can go to rbnlive.com under program host. You can join our Yahoo groups as well. There's a lot of information, literary sources that are plenty there as well. If you'd like to fax us, we got area code 732-601. Again, that's area code 601-732-601-732-601-0462. Shalom.
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws. And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us
are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.